Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The game two of the NLDS edition. The whole world is there. Mark Tauscher's going to be there. Jesse Nelson and Up North Joe are going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Edition. The bye is over. The Packers are back to work. They are practicing at 10:30 without me. I know they'll somehow manage. They're also opening up the locker room earlier, so look forward to the Mark Tauscher and Riley Yauch show for the last couple segments, potentially, edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you need, except, of course, a connection to Spotify. On the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Android and Apple app stores and serves as a very good substitute until Spotify gets its blank together. We're just going to start playing Jesse original music in and out of breaks. I think that'll solve the problem. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is not here to play original music. He took the day off because he's going to the game tonight. I think that's how this worked. And then did not alter his plan.
I never understood about that. The game was either going to be at, 5 o'clock or 8 o'clock, right? There never was a 2 o'clock schedule because the NL was not playing, or the AL was not going to play today.
Yeah, he played yesterday. Yeah.
Riley, am I wrong?
I don't believe so.
But on the bright side, we get young Riley Yauch as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, believe in better. Riley, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Not only that, but now you might get to host a little bit. And, of course, from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
Good. Do you have your game face on yet?
My game face?
Well, I always think of Bob Knight when he does that, when somebody asks him at the NCAA tournament what a game face is, and he's thinking all of
I don't have a game face, but I'll say this. I'm incredibly excited. We had the Brewers updates as the Michigan-Wisconsin game was starting to unwind there in the second half. And there is a mania. There is a Brewers mania, and I'm excited to get down there. I don't love the start time for me personally. I'm pretty sure tomorrow I'll probably be cranky and a little bit tired, but hopefully it'll be coming back with a big fat W coming back from AmFam Field.
Will you be spreading joy and positive vibes? That I gotta say, and again, There are times when you and I don't see eye to eye, but we agree on UW Credit Union, and we agree, even when I give you a hard time for not waving, that you are beloved. That video that the Brewers and UW Credit Union put out of you handing out signed baseballs and footballs and, you know, chatting it up, kissing babies, shaking hands, more fist bumping, really, because you're trying to keep your prediction that the handshake had been eliminated to go. How much fun was that? Because that was, and then the vibes carried over into a big W in game one.
It was awesome. And that, you know, the whole, that whole concept of what UW Credit Union and the Brewers have, where you go up to the fourth deck forever. Uh-huh. They do this every game, by the way. And they just find a family.
I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
every game, somebody from the Brewers gets to go. And I was asking, there's two or three folks that do it. The gal I was with that night, I said, that's got to be, what a fun job. Because you're going to always get somebody smiling and being happy about that. So, that part is really cool. And obviously, all of that angst. I think I said on Friday that Saturday's game was a must-win for the Brewers for a lot of reasons, but mainly because their horse was out.
And
by the way, there you go. Brandon Woodruff pretty much told you. And Brandon Woodruff's been around a lot longer. And definitely, you know, clubhouse. He's been around a long time. And he basically said the same thing. Everybody understood that when you have your guy going, the psychological part of that, if they beat you, there's a little more doubt that comes into your head. And then when you're starting Ashby and you're going to bullpen day, now you do it up one, and I think everybody has the mentality of, in Murph we trust. I know I do. I don't know if Jesse and Up North Joe do, but that's the vibe, and you're just in a much better spot heading into tonight.
So tonight, first pitch is at 8:08 Central Daylight Time.
That's
according to MLB.com, it is Shota Imanaga.
How do I say that?
And Aaron Ashby.
Okay.
That's what MLB.com has. So when you say that, and look, Aaron Ashby, 5-2, 2.16 ERA. They don't have their horse going tonight. So how does that change you and Woody's calculus? Because obviously you want to go 2-0 and go to Chicago needing one game.
Well, you want to go 1-0 again. I don't think you look at it as going 2-0. You look at it as going 1-0.
1-0 every game. Sure, yeah. Thanks,
I was going to say on Friday when we did our Steinhoffel sleepers, and I'm glad I ended up not going with Chorio because obviously he started off guns blazing 3-for-3, pulls his hammy. We don't know to what degree. He's out there jogging, slow jogging a little bit yesterday. But I thought Ashby was going to be one of the key figures in this because he's been so good and he's been so versatile, figuring out how to utilize him in a big way. Who knows? I think everybody is kind of assuming that he's going to throw two innings and then they're going to hand it over to Priester. I think that's the assumption. I know we have a Brewers expert joining us later in the show to probably break that down more than I can.
Dom Catronio scheduled to appear 11:15.
The question I have is, if he's going, do you roll? I mean, can you try to get three and maybe four innings out of him? I don't know. I would think three innings will be the max that he gets tonight, but at this point, we've seen this movie before, and I got to give my younger brother Pat credit. Remember when Pat joined us way back in the beginning of the show? First or second year.
Uh-huh.
And his point was,
man ahead of his time,
with some of these teams that can't afford to pay a Paul Skeens $45 million bucks or, you know, whoever is making big money in today's day and age, why not just get a bunch of flame-throwing fools that can give you one or two innings and you go about your business that way? Well, the Brewers have kind of implemented that. Now, we haven't had the postseason success since 18, but tonight will be a big indicator of Pat's philosophy is going to be something that you're going to want to continue on. Or I still think I want Freddie. I want somebody giving me 5, 6, 7 innings that can get it done. That's what I'm still looking for.
Do you want him
when
being,
you're limited?
Do you want him being Oral Hershiser in the 1988
yes.
World Series where he pitches like 4 of the 7 games or whatever he
does? I want Dave Stewart. I want Jack Morris. I want Oral Hershiser. Those are the guys I want out there. The dude
and you
from
want
the Yankees
Tommy
that
John
pitched
surgery.
7 or Schlitzky. That's the guy. I want horses.
Okay.
I want to have horses.
Mike
I want
Caldwell.
Sabathia.
Pete Vukovich, okay. Those type of guys. Throw it till their arm falls off, and then they throw it with their other arm. I don't think that's how it works.
It's hard to have a baseball conversation with you.
What?
I don't know where to go from that. What, you know, you're saying Pete Vukovich is going to throw right-handed and left. What, is he Mickey Vandehey? Being able to throw
I'm saying
right-handed and left-handed in a doubleheader?
You're living in the past, man. Pitchers don't do that sort of thing. What, Nolan Ryan? Come on. They don't do it. It's a different
Yankees
era.
The Yankees, dude, that Schlitzky just shut down the Red Sox.
Yeah,
I'm not asking you to throw 180 pitches.
Hey, you know why he's a good story? It's because nobody does that stuff anymore.
Didn't the dude from the Red Sox the first game throw 120? Didn't Scooball throwing up 120 plus? Like, they're still there. Nah, it's unusual, but it's unusual
it's
to win a world
unusual.
Championship, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So,
Riley, are you excited? Riley, how did you feel when you heard? Because I think we all thought Priester was going to start tonight.
Yeah.
I know I did.
I know initially.
What was the vibe when you heard that?
Initially, I was very nervous and apprehensive because I was like, why don't we just ride our horse? Outside of his last start against the Reds, the Brewers hadn't
lost. You
wanted
to pitch Peralta again?
No.
That's a bold strategy.
Our horse number two, our second string horse. Because outside of his last start against the Reds, the Brewers had won the last 19 games in which he pitched.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So, but then one of my friends, who is a college baseball coach, informed me that the Cubs have a very left-handed dominant top of the lineup. So they're rolling with Ashby for ideally the first two innings. Take care of those lefties. Then bang, Priester's in for the next 5. Then you roll it to Abner, McGill to finish us off. Boom, Brewers up 2-0 heading to Wrigley. Now I'm feeling
good.
Right.
Pretty good formula.
Yep.
But then the question I have is, okay, you get them the first, but then what about when they come up the second time?
What do you mean they come up the second time? Ashby goes through
your
the first
top
six hand, batters.
Left-handed part of your order. Mm-hmm. You get through it, but you're still, at some point, Priester's got to get him, right?
Yeah, exactly. But if you can...
So what, you just want to start fast and not let it happen? Or that's the question, because obviously Quinn is more apt and more in sync with starting games.
Mm-hmm.
I am not opposed to this, and I trust Murph. He has a great pulse on this team and understands what they're going to need to do. But, you know, you act as if, well, you get through that. Well, you're still going to have to face him. It's just going to be in the third, fourth inning rather than the first, second.
Yeah, but then you already
have – And then in the sixth, seventh.
It's all about eating innings and getting outs in the playoffs. And then Priester, say he only has to go 5 today, he's available in a clinching scenario, probably not for game 3, but game 4. He's available out of the bullpen potentially, able to come in. I feel like you just have more options if Ashby's able to get 2 innings right off the bat.
Okay, so can you guys explain the offensive output, all the doubles? Obviously saw the highlights, but can you watched it live, I'm sure, Riley. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a taste of how that all played out?
Yeah, so the first inning, Matthew Boyd, I have some friends who are Cubs fans. They were pissed that Council put Matthew Boyd out there. He was on short rest, and he was serving up meatballs that first inning. Every pitch, because they got 3 doubles in the first inning on 6 pitches. Everything was right down the pipe, and then they were just drilling it to the gaps and down the lines. So then they started hot, and then every ground ball had eyes, made it to the outfield. Blake Perkins had an insane at-bat that went 12 pitches, drove a single up the middle. They were just playing Brewers baseball. Sal Frelick forced an error at second by hustling out an infield single. It was peak Murph ball. They put the pressure on the Cubs. The defense crumbled, having good at-bats, hitting line drives, and then you had Cubs fans crying that, oh, they didn't hit home runs. If the Cubs outslug the Brewers the whole series, I'm feeling good. Cubs in four. People say the way the Brewers play can't win in the playoffs. So far, through one game, not true.
Yeah. Just through one game.
Through one game. Long way to go.
I did think, because as the Craig Council, I wouldn't go so far as to say apologist, but I don't hold the same level of vitriol as the normal producer of the program who, as the folks in the YouTube comments are pointing out, is off yet again. Clearly more days off than even Tausch and I combined at this point. I do find myself wondering if I need to inquire with HR on what his complement of days off is, because he sure has gone a lot. He obviously hates Craig Council with a white-hot passion. I will say Craig was very testy after the game about his decision on whom to pitch in game one. And at one point he said the entire organization was okay with it, which is not, that was a bad sign. And I believe, if I read the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel coverage accurately, that he had not been very good on short rest previously. So it was kind of a cross your fingers and hope that past history did not repeat itself, and obviously it did. So that's a shame. Hate to see that for all those Cubs fans. Tausch, we're going to talk more Brewers. As you mentioned, we've got Dom Catronio of 620 WTMJ scheduled to appear later in the program at 11:15. We'll talk a little bit about the Packers as well as they return to practice. They'll practice at 10:30 this morning. Just a light little get back in the swing of things after the bye week. And then they will take on the foundering Cincinnati Bengals, who are having a very difficult time without their quarterback, having lost Joe Burrow for 3 months to a serious toe injury. We'll talk about that as well, but we can't talk about anything else until we've talked about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, when it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And this month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for all the way up to 60 months. It's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of those drafts getting out there. Don't wait now. Schedule that free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply.
I didn't think I'd ever see this happen. But in the ESPN Milwaukee chat on YouTube, B says, "No, Jesse, I'm out of here." Somebody's not listening or watching the show because Jesse's not on?
That might be his Aunt B.
It's a decision.
Like Andy Griffith.
It's a decision. Not sure it's a good one. Well, if you decided to stick around, even without Jesse, we have more from Wilde and Tausch next, so stick around. We'll circle back to the Brewers periodically throughout today's show as Tausch and Jesse. And you got a lot of friends going to the ball game tonight? Yeah, you.
Talking to Riley?
Co-host of the program. Yeah, no, you.
I think pretty much, if you're a Brewers fan and you have access tonight, you're going to the game. I'm going with three buddies. I'm assuming everything has been sold out, and it sounds as if the Brewers held off Cubs fans pretty good on Saturday. I'm assuming that'll be the case again tonight, would be my hunch.
Riley, are you going? Are you one of Tausch's buddies?
I am unfortunately not going, but my dad is going, so that'll be awesome. I'll be I'll be watching in a bar with my pals tonight. So
I'll go boo in a bar.
Yeah,
and when they show Craig Counsell, you're going to be the guy who boos at a bar.
Exactly.
The Packers return to work this morning as they are practicing at 10:30. We'll have locker room a little bit before noon. It was supposed to be later than that, but now it's not. Tausch, what's the biggest challenge when you come back from a bye week? Do you snap right back into it?
I don't think it's a huge challenge. It's on your mind. Obviously, you can decompress a little bit, but you just jump right back into it. I think it's always smart to kind of have a day like what Matt is having. You come in there for an hour and some change, move around, get back into kind of the swing of things. Nothing too detailed. It's more of you had 3-4 days off. Let's get you back in here. Let's get you moving. Let's get your mind back on football because you have a 13-game run here without any more breaks. You had your break. Now it's go time. So I don't think that, especially this early in the season, the big challenge is when, you know, for the guys that fly home and go do stuff and are getting back to that nice sense of normalcy, you're kind of at that, oh, boy, this is really nice, but everybody knows what time it is, and today will be a day to kind of reignite that part of your life.
So the Cincinnati Bengals,
they
started the season 2-0. They defeated the Cleveland
Even
Browns
Burrow,
17-16. Then they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 31-27.
They can't play Browning on Sunday. They can't. He is a turnover machine. And so for Green Bay, I think everybody's got to just Jeff Hafley's got to be just absolutely salivating. No, you're not getting enough turnovers. You're not doing like that's going to be. I think this is going to be your talking point for the week. You got to get right. Your defense is really good, but you're not creating the turnovers even that you did last year. Mm-hmm. Well, if they play Browning and they don't get turnovers, that's on them because he is a turnover machine. He throws the ball up. I think that Cincinnati game, which I found interesting, we're going up to the game. It is the hottest ticket in a long time. You talk to people that have tickets. Yes, it is a incredibly expensive ticket. The second market on it is crazy, and I'm trying to think, like, why? And I've gotten different answers from different people. Some have said, well, you haven't had a home game in forever. Well, it's going to be
a month.
What? Because then you go on the road for two more, right? Arizona and Pittsburgh. So you're going to have one home game. The weather is going to be fantastic. But I thought with Burrow, yes, it could be a sexy ticket. And when Burrow got hurt, you know, he's missing a heck of a lot more time with his turf toe than you did. I thought, oh, this, you know, whatever. And it turns out this is going to be one of the probably most, until the playoffs, if Green Bay makes it, which I think they will, this is going to be one of the most expensive tickets that Lambeau has this season, probably outside of the opener against Detroit.
Since Joe Burrow's injury, the Cincinnati Bengals have lost to the Minnesota Vikings 48-10.
Yeah, wasn't that close.
The Denver Broncos 28-3. And then that was the score yesterday until some cosmetic scores late. But it was 28-3 Lions. The ultimate final score was 37-24.
Yeah.
So they
had three games that weren't that close. Cincinnati stinks.
To your point,
Cincinnati stinks.
Jake Browning Nagel has thrown 8 interceptions. On the bright side, he hasn't lost a fumble. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. The Packers are 14.5-point favorites to open.
I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough.
All right, I'd like to explore that further because I'm curious what you're basing that on. because...
Did you watch him play Detroit?
I did. And they ultimately won that game by 13 points.
By the way, the NFL needs to... I get it, man. They got to make money, and they get their NFL package, NFL Plus, and all this other stuff. When there's a good game on, like the Buccaneers in Seattle, let's get that. It's 28-3. All right, you're forcing us to watch because you think we're interested in markets close to us. All right, fine. I
division
kind of understand.
Team,
I don't
next
really
opponent.
I don't really understand it, but okay. When there's a big boy game on like that, let's go. Like, come on.
Well, that's why they want you to get the
package. No, I understand. I understand.
It's the whole idea.
And red zone's fine and all that's fine, but come on. Come on.
We'll discuss more why Tausch is so confident in a team that has gone 0-1-1 in its last two performances, although they are back at Lambeau Field where they've been pretty good, after Tausch tells us about the Tito's that Jesse and up north Joe will be using to make their Harvey's wall bangers on the parking lot at AmFam Field.
That was the text that we got this morning when I forgot. Sent Jesse 4 or 5 notes yesterday for the show. Riley says, hey, where's our show sheet? Ideas. And I said, oh, I forgot Jesse's taking another day because he's having a Tito's with his boy up north, Joe, probably pretty soon. Going to mix it with a bloody. Probably going to go out and play a little golf today. Going to have a transfusion. And he can do whatever he wants tonight as a nightcap, hopefully for a big Brewers win, whether that's tonic, ginger ale. I like lemonade, cranberry. Tito's is always going to be in my glass as well. And Tito's gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Can I ask a quick question? For as long as Tito's has been a partner, which is a long time, very loyal partner.
No, it's been they're one of our founders. They're founding.
I have never heard you drop a Tito's and tonic. Is that a new twist?
No, I've said it.
Muddle, a lot of muddling. I don't remember tonic.
Yeah, we had the mojito phase, the Tito phase.
You went through Motito. All right, I was just curious. That stuck out to me.
Okay.
It also stuck out to me that Mark Tauscher, Packers Hall of Famer, said, when I said it was a 14.5-point line per ESPN bet, that's not big enough. He will explain himself, other than saying, have you not watched the games? Next.
Usually it's a good indicator.
It's Wildy and Tausch. Jazzy Riley playing all the hits today as we get ready for Brewers-Cubs game 2. Hopefully the Brewers can do the same thing to the Cubs as I've seen the Toronto Blue Jays do to the New York Yankees, bludgeoning them in back-to-back games. I want to ask Tausch about that a little bit later in the program. But I want Tausch to explain himself. Defend your position. I'm not saying you're wrong, but that's a really big spread in an NFL game, is it not? You
it
don't
is.
See
no,
14 and a half very often.
Anything over 2 scores, I think people start looking at it because, as you mentioned yesterday, Detroit dominated that game and, you know, they gave some stuff up late. I get it. And, you know, professional sports is a competitive. There's a lot of upsets. You saw it with college this weekend with, you know, Penn State not only not covering but getting their blanks beat out in UCLA, which
that was
UCLA,
awesome, by the way.
UCLA, I thought, was the worst team in college football. And it turns out Penn State's worse, at least on that Saturday. So That's why I kind of take a beat. All right. I thought the spread would be right about where it's at. But you just get the sense with where Green Bay is and the fact it's a home game and the fact you've had two really disappointing performances by your offense against Cleveland and your defense against the Dallas Cowboys. And then special teams-wise, it's been disappointing. This has all the markings to me of an absolute drubbing. So 14.5, 20.5, whatever it might be, I would bet by the end of the week, usually when you see a number that big, 14.5, you'll end up seeing it kind of trickle down to under two scores. I bet this gets closer to 16.5 before the end of the week than it does 13.5. Maybe I'll be wrong.
So the Bengals' other option at quarterback at the moment is Brett Rippon.
Oh, God. I mean, and he was in Minnesota, and we said he had no business. Wasn't he with Minnesota? He had no business playing.
And like, if I recall correctly, like he had played for a while, and then Kevin O'Connell didn't want to play him either. Like, but you know who the next option is? Sean Clifford.
Sean Menenga. Okay.
Not Sean Menenga. No, but I kind of. Kind of want to see Sean Clifford get a shot. Can't be worse. Can he? I mean, maybe he can, but I don't think so. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, Cincinnati is they're in big trouble. I thought their defense, you know, they obviously still have Trey Hendrickson. I would trade Trey Hendrickson if I was them.
Trey Hendrickson would appreciate if they did that. They also have Mike
the
White at quarterback,
over.
By the way.
They're done. Their season's over. When Joe Burrow got hurt, you put all your eggs in that basket of the, you know, that trio. I still think they needed to focus more on running the football and implementing, getting some younger guys on. We'll break down Cincinnati more as we go. Probably not a ton more though, because this needs to be a This needs to be a throttle game. This needs to be a no doubter, and I think defensively, this needs to be the start. The defense has been really good, obviously, except for that Dallas game. This needs to be the start of that snowball building. You know, it's going to hopefully start getting colder, although looks like it might not freeze now until middle of November, which is insane. Yeah. But let's build that snowball of getting turnovers. You want to get right? Play this group with Browning, with Clifford, with whomever they're going to put in there at quarterback. They don't run the ball. They're going to throw it. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a huge challenge, obviously, at T. Higgins and everything else. But this needs to be the start of that big old snowball, and let's get that puppy rolling. Let's get a little something-something building as we get moving, because defensively, you're not going to win a championship creating the limited amount of turnovers that Green Bay has so far.
Two.
That needs to ramp up, and this is the perfect week for that to happen.
When you look, you're going 1-0 every week. You've learned from Shido getting admonished for his undefeated talk, which, by the way,
no players look at it that way. I'm looking at this as a no doubt. You're going to get right in Arizona with that debacle yesterday.
Yeah, losing to the previously winless Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee's bad. Tennessee's a really bad football team. And you had to literally give them the game. They gave them
21-3. They were leading.
Well, that should have been 28-3 there too, right? Or 27, whatever it was. Kid drops the ball. I don't understand what is it that fun to drop the ball right before you score a touchdown?
No, I don't think it's fun. No, fun
that's
is
outside.
Not the
that's a young person's thing. That's not my deal. I can't speak on that because I think it's insane. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But Arizona, that. We'll worry about Arizona next week. I think Cincinnati, this is going to be one
Wait
of those.
A minute.
I think everybody.
I thought we were snowballing. That was why I mentioned them, because what I wanted to ask you, because you just said you don't have to go 1-0 every week. So I thought we were going to say.
No, as a media member. No. I said as a player, 100% the right man. But that's not what I do. I'm analyzing ahead. Shido,
right.
Shido shouldn't say that they go 17. I can't.
Right. So don't go back to the Bengals. I want to ask you, do you think that they are set up well for this snowballing? Because in lurking around the corner, you've got the Bengals, then you've got the Cardinals who just gave up a lead. And was that game at home on top of it? Lost to the Tennessee Titans. But then, old boys next in Pittsburgh. And then after that, you've got the Carolina Panthers who once again stink. So if you believe that you can beat the Aaron Rodgers-led Steelers, and we're not players who have to worry about going 1-0 every week, there is an outlook here of a potential 4-game winning streak to get on heading into that big-time Monday night matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles, who also lost yesterday.
So here's the deal. This team is not good enough for me to say that at this point. This is a good team at home. What we've seen so far is they're not a good road team.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the facts. I can sit here and think and hope. What do they say? You can hope in one end and take a bump in
and
the other.
You know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you could sit here and believe all that. Now, should these next 2 weeks be, you know, relatively like room service type stuff? Yeah, it should be. But that, you know, the NFL is not like that. That's not how it works.
Any given Sunday.
And until this team can go and win on the road and play a good football game on all three phases, I am going to sit here and be skeptical of what they do. Now, will I predict that they beat Arizona? Yeah, I don't think Arizona is very good either.
No, they don't appear to be.
I think they're better than the team coming in here next week. I think Cincinnati, sans Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson, I don't think it's a great roster. And I think that you're going to see Green Bay's youth and enthusiasm and depth completely pummel what the Cincinnati Bengals are going to try to do. So that's why, but I am not going to sit here and say, oh, they're going to run four in a row. No. I think they're going to smash Cincinnati, and then I think there's going to be question marks. Can you go win on the road? There's going to be heat. Are you going to drink pickle juice? How many days early are we going to go? There are going to be 100 different storylines. Kyler Murray. Oh, there will be storyline on storyline until Green Bay proves otherwise. I think all Packer fans should have a smidge of skepticism when it goes to road games.
All right, we'll talk more about the Packers and the Brewers as we roll on. The Badgers, meanwhile, while Tausch was calling the game with Matt LePay, I watched most of that. I even missed most of the Brewers' runs.
What'd you think?
Well, let's talk about it next. What do you think? What do you think of that? How do you feel about that?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, before we can do that, I need to tell you about Lakeland Supply, who has been an awesome partner. They jumped on board with the show a little bit earlier this year, and we've thoroughly enjoyed our partnership with them. Vince is great, and they're great if you're in the industrial supply space and need their help. Core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in that industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer service, and believe in giving back to their community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at LakelandSupply.com. We'll talk a little bit about what the Badgers did and didn't do, and the surprising critique that I was seeing on social media after their loss at Michigan. Next, it's Will Dean Tausch. You are quite the DJ over there. Changing things up when Jesse's away. Good work by our cousin sub of the day, cousin Subs. We believe in better, Riley Yauch. All right, Tausch. Badgers march right down the field. I have to admit, I did not read my State Journal coverage during the course of the week leading up to Saturday's game as closely as I might normally. Did we know that a quarterback change was coming? Was that out there, or was that a surprise?
I mean, some of us had an idea that was going to happen.
I would hope you would, yeah.
I think there was the thought process that, you know, obviously Hunter came in, did a nice job the last drive, but you're always trying to find different sparks when things are, you know, going a certain way. And I think eventually about the middle of that week, they were splitting reps. And, you know, I don't know when Luke and his staff decided to make that switch, but in watching practice, you had an idea that there was some thoughts of making that move, yeah.
So you make the move. Well, not you. The Badgers coaches do. And then you open the game with a touchdown drive.
Pretty good.
And you and Matt LePay are feeling pretty good on the Varsity app. And it was, I got to be honest, look, I don't have, I want to listen to you guys because I want to support my friends. One, two, I am not a Gus Johnson guy. I'm not. It's not my cup of tea. So I was glad to be listening to you guys. And then I had a little bit of a glitch in my syncing, so I had to get that fixed. But what are you thinking? I mean, I'm not sitting there going, oh, I'm going to go to the big house and win. But I, for the first time in forever, I was like, all right, here we go. All right, this is interesting. This is different. And then they never scored another touchdown the rest of the way. What did you think of that performance?
It got to be tough sledding. I was really impressed with kind of the way, you know, obviously went with a new center. There was a new right guard, I believe, for part of the, you know, in the beginning of that game. So you're moving guys around, and I think the goal was to, you know, really get back to kind of what Wisconsin football is about and trying to run the football and then do some things. And I thought you executed that. That drive was executed at a really high level. And unfortunately, you know, Michigan is incredibly talented. They have a lot of guys. And what we saw throughout the end of that game, they're wide open. McCulley is an absolute stud.
Mm-hmm.
He made two or three of the best catches. One of them was just completely contested. Another was just a freak show. I could not believe that he got his foot in bounds. And then their tailback is an absolute game wrecker. So eventually we got worn down defensively. I thought the guys competed their tails off. I thought the whole team, you know, coming in, there's been a tough 2 weeks. There had been a lot of shrapnel thrown at not only the staff, but the players and everybody involved. And I thought the way that the group came out of the chute, and really for most of the game, it was a high compete. It was just a matter of Michigan had too many playmakers, and we couldn't sustain anything. I think after that first drive, we had 1 6-play drive. We had, I want to say, 6, 7 three and outs throughout the rest of the game. And that is putting a lot on your defense when you have a running quarterback and a great tailback with a great wide receiver. It just became too much for Wisconsin to hold up, and that's why we ended up getting beat.
So I did not hear this live because I was listening to you guys, and quite frankly, I also had the Brewers on. I'd stopped watching TV. I then had the Brewers game on the television while I was writing, and I had you and Matt on the Varsity app. But apparently, and Jeff points this out in the YouTube comments too, and I had seen this later in the day, Joel Klatt, who was the Tausch of the TV call, was dumbfounded by Fickell not using his timeouts at the end. And I'm curious what kind of conversation you guys had afterward and what his thought process was there, because I thought he explained it in a reasonable way after the game from what I read, but that he was, you know, it bothered me for this reason. We finally felt, I know there's no moral victories, but it felt like something positive had happened. You didn't get run out of the gym. You scored on the opening drive. Your defense played a pretty damn good game given what they were up against. And then the narrative afterward is, oh, Luke Fickell didn't, he gave up. And I was like, and look, Michael, it wasn't just bots. It was like people that are Badgers fans once again. And I thought, what a crappy way for the narrative to shift in a game where you actually felt there was encouraging signs. That was how I felt.
Yeah, it was, you know, here's kind of just from our perspective, you're down 14. I think it was 2 minutes and 23 seconds left. Michigan gets the ball. You get onside kick, and Michigan recovered it. And I looked up at the scoreboard because I didn't think Wisconsin had used any timeouts. I just wanted to make sure, you know, because sometimes the holes are filled in, and then sometimes they're empty up on the scoreboard. Uh-huh. But if there's dashes, I always say, okay, they have three timeouts. And I literally asked Matt as it was going, I said, well, you know, we have three timeouts, right? Because, you know, at that point, I would think you'd use the timeouts, right? That's kind of mm-hmm. how things go. Now, Luke explained it after the game, and Luke, he is going to have a lot of questions about that. And I agree with you. The unfortunate part is that became the narrative. Was Wisconsin going to come back and win that game?
Spoiler alert, no.
I would say no.
Yeah.
But, Wisconsin sports fans have seen some things.
Usually Pete going Carroll, against them in those situations.
When you think about how that all played out, I don't think many Seattle fans probably thought they were going to win that NFC Championship game down 16. And I know that was a longer period of time.
Correct.
But I will be curious on what Luke has to say at his press conference, which I think is this afternoon, on how that goes, because he talked about the offense getting the ball. Well, you know, typically you use your timeouts on defense to get the offense the ball. The offense can control some things, getting the ball out of bounds and things
sure.
like that.
Yep.
Again, it was a 14-point game.
And his guys were gassed. That was part of his argument,
the
too.
The oddest part of the whole thing was I legit was thinking Seinfeld, and it was almost like Bizarro World. Because when you watch the end of that game, you kind of thought Michigan was behind because they were going to score.
Right.
They could have taken a knee. They could have taken a knee right at the 2 minute timeout after they got that first down, because then you take a knee. Wisconsin wasn't using their timeouts, and you could have ended the game. But instead, they hurried up, and it was almost like they were trying to go down and score to go up 21 in a game that they would just kneel it out and win.
Yeah,
it literally was like the two different cafes and the two different. It was like. What am I missing here? So
Bizarro George.
I'll be curious what Luke has to say again after a couple of days. It's always, you always, when you answer questions after games, there's a lot of emotion and things like mm-hmm. that. So after a couple of days, what his commentary will be on that.
All right. Jesse's not in today. He has taken a day off for no reason whatsoever. Riley Yauch is not only our cousin sub of the day, but he did some research to start the 10 o'clock hour for us. Mm. I'll give you the insight that he has gleaned from the past six seasons, but only after Tausch tells us about how his weekend went on Prize Picks. Was it good to be right, or were you wrong?
I am glad to say I didn't have a rushing touchdown for DeMarcado, the dude from Arizona, because could you imagine? If you had a rushing touchdown, 0.5, and you went more on DeMarcado, and he would have had it had he not dropped the ball in front of the end line, how upset you'd be. But I'll tell you, it does make the game more fun. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made simple, and you pick more or less on at least two player stat projections, like Josh Allen's passing yards. I think it would have been less last night. Saquon Barkley finding the end zone. I think he did. And you know what's beautiful about Prize Picks? It's quick and easy. You can set a lineup less than a minute. Get the option to stack a single player across different stat lines. If you want to play it safe, you can go with Flex Play. You want that big payout? Try Power Play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks makes it fun all season long. withdrawals. They're fast, safe, and secure. Apple Pay, Venmo, and more. That's why millions are on America's number one fantasy sports app. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI for $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 play. Prize Picks. It is good
to be right.
To be right. Oh, there you go.
I never know. The 10 o'clock hour of Will the Intouch. I know this starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.